You're loving Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. He's wild about you. We know that. So I am so excited about where we're living in the realm of the Spirit. How many of you know that every one of you is God's seed? Come on now. How many of you understand that every seed has a harvest in it? So that you literally were made to bear forth a harvest, to bear much fruit, because you're a seed. How many of you understand the root word for seed is seed? So there's a vision in every seed. Come on now. So you need to understand that God has already put a vision in you. Many times it's just a question of discovering it. Come on. You were sent to earth on purpose. You were made for a purpose. You were created with tremendous potential. And one of my things that I'm into is trying to release people into their potential. Because how many people understand every tree seed, there's a forest? You, many times when you're holding a seed in your hand, you're holding a forest in your hand. So come on. You need to understand that. Every seed has potential for a harvest. It was never created just to be a seed. Never was created. Potential is what you could have been, should have been, and were meant to be. You are more than what you've done. You are much more than what you've accomplished. Come on now. Understand that. See, you need to refuse to be satisfied with your last accomplishment. Because potential never has a retirement plan. You know, I love what Franklin Lloyd Wright said when they asked him, the famous architect, what's your favorite building you've ever designed? He was 89 years old, and he said, my next one. Come on now. That is the mentality we should have. Be forward-thinking people. Amen. You know what faith is? Faith is people who live in the potential. That's what faith is. You call things that are not yet here as though they are. It means you're seeing something. Because you won't call what you don't see. And you know what your potential is, so you keep calling it forth. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I found out, you know, potential, what it is dormant ability, reserve power, untapped strength, unused success, hidden talents, capped capacity. All you can be but not have yet become. All you can do but have not yet done. How far you can reach but have not yet reached. It's what you can accomplish but have not yet accomplished. And God always speaks to your potential. Always does. He never talks to you where you're at. He speaks to where you should be. Because He believes in you. Yes. And He knows, because He created you, He knows your capacity. So He always speaks to your capacity. Your capacity is your potential. Come on. Does this make sense? So we must begin to that. That's why, you know, we call things are not again in Romans 4:17 as though they are. That's why when he saw Gideon, he didn't say, scaredy cat. You know, when he was hidden. You know, here he was in Judges 6 hiding from the enemy in the wine press. God calls him valiant warrior. He was anything but a valiant warrior. But God knew what he was. He didn't know who he was. It's the Word of God that activates your potential. It's the Word of God that changes your vision of yourself. Come on. It's the Word of God that brings you fruitfulness. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's one word from the Lord. In fact, it's the Word. It's the prophetic Word spoken over you in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that you fight, verse 18 and 19, you fight a good fight. Come on, that you don't get shipwrecked, because what happens is God begins. A prophetic word is a visionary word. And anything God shows you is an assignment. God will never show you evil that you're not supposed to stand against. And He'll never show you good that you're not supposed to birth. See, God doesn't expect. Anything he shows you is something that you have to participate in. It's not to give you a goosebump. It's to change the world. Does this make sense to you? See, God wants to begin to stir and stir and stir. When you have more potential than it is, you know, basically, I found out something. When you have no more potential left, then you're allowed to die. Until then, you haven't really lived. That's why in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, let's go there. I'm going to have some fun today. I don't know about you. I want to speak to some stuff tonight. You know, I want to get you so stirred, you know. I am so tired of us not doing much. You know, and I know, you know, there's nothing sadder than me. I've always been around people with tremendous potential, and there's nothing real more frustrating to see someone with more natural talents, with more, you know, athletes that I've been around that have had just physical capabilities that far outstretched when I was in the athletics. And it really was, I said, God, what a waste. Because they were lazy. You know what I'm saying? They never, ever pushed what God gave them. And I thought, what a waste. I've been around intellectuals and they've accomplished nothing. What a waste. You know, to me, to not basically reach our potential is irresponsible. Because our potential is not just for us. 2 Timothy 4, 7, or verse 6, let's look at that. It says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." I love it. I love Tim, you know, Paul when he could say, basically, there's nothing left in me. I've given my all. There's no more potential in me. Come on. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me in that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. But I found out something. God literally, when you do, you know, basically, when you have poured out everything, you're successful. You know, how much do we have that we haven't given yet? Does this make sense? See, how many people understand what you see on the outside is not all there is? If it was, a seed would make no difference at all. It's what's on the inside. Because the outside's always small. But sometimes you can be small on the outside, big on the inside, and eventually when the outside will begin to give way to what's on the inside, and the whole earth will know how large you are. That's a kingdom thing. Come on. God built potential into you. He built a harvest into you. Come on. He wants to sow you into the earth. Come on. To change the world. That's who you are. Hallelujah. And he wants the prophets to begin to prophesy to the potential. That's why, you know, I asked God years ago, I said, God, why are you sending me back and doing a lot more young people things? And he said, because the prophet is who releases. He said, there's a bunch of Davids out there, but they'll never be released until Samuel shows up. It's that prophetic anointing that brings forth the potential. Come on. And see, we're not like, you know, man judges by outward appearance. So that they won't, you know, they'll wait until there's evidence. They'll wait until they can see it themselves. After the breakthrough, many of them will join you. But those who operate in potential cause the breakthrough. Come on now. There's a difference. I mean, you know, people will join the bandwagon when the band is successful. Come on. And as soon as there's a shaking, a lot of them will go. Because they're only in it because of the outward, not because of what's on the inside. The reason why many of you are still at this church is because of what's on the inside. If you could have left, you would have. Come on. That's true. You know, when you go through shaking and stuff like that. But the bottom line is you can't give up on the vision. You can't. And it's time to stir it back up, stir it back up, stir it back up, stir it back up. It's time to catch a second wind. It's time to let the rain fall on the seed. Come on now. It's time to begin to believe what God said he meant. Come on. See, you should always be looking at what is not yet visible. There are good works in you that have not yet been performed, but they've been foreordained. Come on, from the foundation of the world, in Ephesians 2:10, he called you to them, but they have not yet been performed. It's time for us to perform them.
Yes.
Come on, it's time for us to discover and go for it. Mm-hmm. Amen. See, God's beginning to stir again. There should be a fresh stirring. Does this make sense? Amen. See, I don't know about you. There's something crying out in me. There's so much more. There's so much more. See, what would have been lost if you had not been born? You need to ask that. I found out. That's one of the things I said. I want to make a difference. I want to leave something behind. What would have been lost? There are a lot of people, not much would have been lost if they hadn't been born. It's sad because they were carrying a lot more than they ever manifested. And see, I found out something. God will hold you accountable for what he put in you. You know, one of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. Because sometimes we don't recognize the lives we've touched. And then, you know, so many times we look on outward things, but you know, the more you touch people, the more valuable you are. You know, and many of you, God, what God wants to do is he just wants to change your focus. You know, how many people are saying God set eternity, he makes everything perfect at his own time? It's Ecclesiastes 3:11. He set eternity in our heart. There's something in our heart that says there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. We literally are here for a purpose. We are here to accomplish something. We are here to manifest something. This church is here not to play some religious game in a corner. Come on now. Do you know what I'm saying? See, there is more to life than just existing. You know, before you were born, God knew you and gave you an assignment. Before you were born, he gave you an assignment. He literally molded you to that assignment. He literally put your life together. He designed you on purpose. And he put potential in every one of us. Different gifts, different abilities. And as we release those things, he gets glorified when we give him the glory. When people see the release. It's time for the church to begin to manifest some stuff. Come on, and not just the stuff we know we should be manifesting, like the healings and the miracles. But Jesus said, the works I do, you shall do also, and greater works. I think part of what he was saying is you're going to infiltrate all of society.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, you're going to be used to restructure all of society. Come on. To hit every area, the business realm, the entertainment realm, the every single realm. God, I love what Oral Roberts' vision was. Go into all the world, every man's world. And so many times we, as church people, we haven't touched certain realms, so the devil took it over.
Yes.
And don't argue about entertainment. Don't argue about TV if we're not influencing it. We've advocated to the enemy. And then we complain that the enemy took it.
Yeah.
We gave it to him. Now we got to take it back.
Right.
Come on now. Does this make sense? There's a new stirring going on. There's a new breed going on. You know, how many people understand the new comes from the old, by the way? You know, understand nothing new has ever been. You know, everything that's ever been has always been. You know, my son once was asked, he said, how do you invent things? He said, I don't invent anything. No one's ever invented anything. He said, what's You know, what I come up with is, he said, I just positioned to see what's always been here. And because I can see it, I can make it known. You know, when something's made, it's made out of something that's always been here. Come on. You know, God always, all he does is put together in different, you know, innovation does not create new raw materials. All of the raw materials are already created. Innovation recombines them in fresh ways. Innovation, literally, everything that we call new is a new grouping of old things. So you need to understand that. Innovation enables someone to see old with new eyes and combine them in new ways for new purposes. See, my son always looks at what is and says, what if? What if? I wish the church would get there. What if? It's the way we've done things. That's not bad. What if? Come on. You know, our part of our problem is we're not willing to experiment with God. One of the great churches in America, I think, is Bethel Church, Bill Johnson's church in California. And you know what he calls his church? One big experiment. That's healthy, by the way. That means you don't have to always get it right. Come on now. You can willing to try new things. And if it doesn't work, just write down. Well, that one didn't work. You know, so what? At least you're doing something. You know? Let's go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Is this okay? If I could get us going in this area, if I could get myself, I'm starting to get myself in this area. The more I meditate on it, the more I'm beginning to say, whoa, God, there's so much more. There's so much more than doing the same old, and producing the same old. We can put together some old things and make them new, praise God. Come on. We can do things in different ways. And, you know, God said, I want to teach you my ways. He didn't say, I want to teach you my way. You know, I found out God has more than one way of doing some things. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. And to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words. But see, what God's basically saying is, I'm going to take the secrets and I'm going to reveal them to you. Mysteries that are going to become revealed in these days. God says, I'm going to show you keys that unlock things. Things are about ready to explode. He's going to begin to give revelation knowledge like never before. Things that have always been. It's not like we're coming up with a new truth. It's just a discovered truth. It's always been there. All of a sudden, we see it grouped in a little different way. Come on now. All of a sudden, and something God is breathing on from heaven. Does this make sense? See, purpose is the master of motivation. And it's the mother of commitment. You got to understand something. Without purpose, people aren't motivated. You know, people say, why aren't people motivated? Because they're not seeing anything. If they don't see it, they don't buy into it. You know, sometimes I watch, well, just started watching that Shark Tank thing. I love that, actually. And about these businessmen and guys come and present ideas and they decide whether they're going to invest. Well, you know what? Basically, they're saying when they don't invest is, I don't see it. I don't see it, so I'm not investing in it. And be honest with you, the church many times is not doing anything because they ain't seeing it and they ain't investing in it.
That's right.
Come on now. So we got to make it plain. Come on. You know, if you can see yourself doing it, you will. See, without vision, we only exist. Purpose gives birth to hope and instills the passion to act on fulfilling your potential. God is literally going to begin to reawaken. And many of us, he's going to take us back to bring us forward. You know, many times if we would just find out, if we watch what makes us tick, that's our area. I mean, every one of us has things. You know, my son, I'm not going to try to make them into me. Well, what makes him tick is new ideas. I mean, how do we, improvements, how do we do any area he's interested in, he can take it to the next level. I mean, that's just the way he is. If he has an interest, he'll take it to the next level. He'll find out what is, and he say, well, if that's true, what if we did this? He has that capability. There are people that, I mean, they're into children big time. I mean, you know, they're the best there are. I mean, that's who they should be ministering to. They're businessmen. They just like money. Mm-hmm. And it's not bad. It's a God thing in them.
Yes.
God gave them the power to make wealth. Yes. There are people that are woodworkers, and all they want to do is help. You know, sometimes they don't come over as spooky spiritual types. But when they do the thing they do, the world's better. Come on. See, God's put that all these different things in us, and too many times we're listening to the world instead of just, you know, many just times just by observing, you can prophesy into somebody. It's amazing. Many times I believe I'm stating the obvious, and they're like, whoa. I thought everyone saw that. It's so obvious. You know, but, you know, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He doesn't see, you know, David didn't look like the obvious choice.
That's right.
But, you know, to Samuel, once God showed him, that's it, baby.
Yeah.
See, many times we got something on the inside of us no one else may be noticing yet, but God's going to eventually point it out.
Yeah.
Our time's coming, praise God. I believe our time is now.
Yeah.
I believe we're stepping into a time frame of the fulfillment of every vision. If you want to succeed, strike out on new paths. Don't travel the worn-out paths of accepted success. One of the greatest dangers there is to do what worked 20 years ago. And it may have some level of success now. But the problem is, all you're going to attract is people that are living in the past. You're not going to attract a new generation. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes.
And faith demands you go into new arenas. Come on now. It demands you expand. See, God wants us to expand. He takes no pleasure in those that shrink back. He doesn't. He's doing a new thing. He's going to make roadways in the wilderness. But part of that is perceiving the new thing. When you perceive the new thing God's doing, all of a sudden things begin to work. One revelation from heaven can change everything. One revelation can ignite people. One revelation can change a city, change a family, change the way. Come on. When the blinders are removed, all of a sudden supernatural progress comes. All of a sudden you're free. You see yourself differently. You see yourself as God sees you. I mean, Gideon, it didn't take a long time. You notice that? God spoke to Gideon one day, and it wasn't like 20 or 30 years. He became a deliverer overnight.
Yes.
Because of the word of the Lord. I believe we're going to begin to have those type of things, those type of encounters with God, where it's going to change everything, where one moment we were a prisoner, and the next moment we're free.
Amen.
Come on now. Hallelujah. Where we'll be used to deliver our city, deliver our nation. Come on. I believe that. See, no one can climb beyond the limitation of his or her own belief. Understand that. You've set your limits. Many of you, you're living your own self-fulfilled prophecies. You've chosen, this is what I can do, so you're doing what you can do. And yet that's not what God said you can do.
Yes.
It's what you have determined you can do. Many times God will ask you to do things you don't think you can do. But he created you, so he knows your capacity. I remember years ago when I would ask Joey to do something, he said, Daddy, I can't. And we wouldn't use that word in our family. I said, Joey, you don't know what you can do. My job is to get you to do things you don't know you can do. And you know something? He'd step out and you go, wow. You know, and then for that moment, the moment you do it, you can do it. The moment that, you know, how many of you understand? God wants to get you into some new first.
Yes.
You stop growing when you stop having first. Come on. Where everything becomes mundane, everything becomes under our control instead of God's control. Does this make sense? See, failure is not the absence of success. Failure is the neglect of trying. What you have done is not your potential. Potential is what you can do and not have yet done. Your accomplishments are not your potential. See, faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. So what does faith do? It calls you to walk in the unseen realm. God shows you something in the unseen and says, now make it seen, manifest it. It's transforming ideas into action. Everything you've seen first existed in an invisible state. And the invisible is more real than the visible. If your eyes were open right now, you'd see more angels in this room than there are people. Every one of you brought at least one angel with you, and usually when the Lord shows up, he brings a host. So there's always a crowd in every one of my meetings. It's just sometimes it's not in people form. Amen. But there are a bunch of angels. That's why in 2 Kings 6, when Elijah was with his servant and the army was coming against him, he prayed, said, Lord, open up his eyes. Because he was afraid of what he saw, and then when he saw into a different realm, fear left. If we would see into the unseen realm, we would never fear the seen. I'm going to help you. See, how many of you understand? We're not supposed to look at, you know, the Bible says not looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we're not looking. And we're in, you know, we may be going through light affliction, but we're not looking at things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Because unseen things are more real than the seen things. That's what makes Christians different. They can see in that realm. You must be born again to see the kingdom. Come on. We can see in the realm of spirit. In fact, we're made to live there. We don't operate the way we should. But we're made to operate there.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
And we're made to operate in revelation knowledge. Come on. God, every time God wants to change anything, he starts with an idea. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. One idea from heaven, the light comes on. Come on. He says, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But he doesn't stop there. That's why he sends the word down. He watches over the word that he sends down to perform it. And it literally changes the whole entire terrain anywhere it's manifested. Places that were deserts become fruitful. You can read it in Isaiah 55. You know, the word is not some soap, a spooky spiritual thing. It's supposed to transform this entire area. Come on now.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? He wants to show you something that will ignite you. He wants to give you an idea. All of a sudden, just one idea can change everything.
Yes.
And I mean, every invention started with an idea. You know, and someone stubborn enough to believe it. Think about it. Think about it. Because honestly, when you have a new idea, you get persecuted. There are a lot of people that want to settle for the old and they miss. Years ago, when there was being a watch convention. And back in those days, all the good watches were Swiss-made watches. All of them. They were all hand. You know, you'd have to basically, you know, turn them. I mean, I don't even remember. I remember the days, but I actually even had one. But, you know, there was in that convention, there was a guy, a Japanese guy named Seiko. And he came and he tried to show a new technology. At the time, the Swiss watchmakers had 75% of the market for watches. And they laughed him out of the place. 10 years later, the same technology he used, now I'm wearing a Seiko watch, where you don't have to, you know, auto set, where you don't have to wind anything, to, you know, that basically they controlled 70%. See, they were trying to rest on their success. And there's a danger. Come on. People say if it's not broken, don't fix it. I'm saying if it's not broken, make it better. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't ever settle. Don't ever settle. Don't ever settle. Because you'll lose if you settle, praise God. Do you hear what I'm saying? God will give new ideas. And we're supposed to be, we're pregnant with much. Many of us are full of dreams and visions and ideas that need to be released for people to see Christ, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father. You know, it's time for the church to manifest. I love it when I'm around pregnant people, people that are pregnant with vision, because they make my baby jump too.
Yeah.
You know, visionaries cause excitement. I love it when I talk, because a visionary is always, it's like visiting the future before you get there. You know, they've already been there. That's why they can create it.
Yeah.
I love that. And anyway, God wants to bring you guys into visions.
Yes.
He wants to bring you into that place.
Yes.
Where the preferable. You know, some of you have seen what this church can be. Now let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. You know, let's not wait and just wait for someone else to do it. Does this make sense? Many look, few see. Helen Keller once was asked, what's worse than being born blind? And she said to have sight without vision. Most people, they have sight, they have no vision. Visionary people, they wake up on purpose, they go to bed on purpose. They know where their life is heading. You know, it's fun, you know. My son now, he can tell you what he's going to be doing 2 years, 6 years, 8 years down the road. Now, some of you can say that, too, because you're going to be doing the same thing you've always done. but he can do it because he knows where he's heading. Come on now. There's a difference. You know, I mean, the schools he wanted to go to, he's going to. Yeah, exactly. This is where I wanted to go. You know, he's right on his track. He's on his track. He's on his track. He basically, and you know, people will try to get him over here and get him over there. And he just stays right on the track. That's what a visionary does. In fact, when your life is full of vision, it simplifies your life. Because you weigh everything in light of the vision.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
If it doesn't fit in the vision, it's wasted.
Yeah.
It's wasted time, wasted energy. Come on. Does this make sense? See, my job is to pull the vision and people out of them. See, Bible talks about everyone, that the plans are already in the hearts of man, but a man of understanding draws it out. He draws it out. There's a vision on the inside. If I can speak to the destiny of people, I can awaken them up. And I'm constantly, you know, and then I get around them and I'm always speaking to their destiny, not to where they are. Some people buy into it. Some people, they just can't accept it. But I'm going to keep speaking it anyway. Come on. Does this make sense? You know, I've just found out man does not see as God sees. You know? You know, momentum comes through vision and purpose. You know, I love what it said about David. He was a man after God's own heart in Acts 13:22. Why? Because he would do all his will. Then he said, you know, after he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation, he fell asleep. After he fulfilled, that's verse 36 in Acts 13. After he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. What does he say? He basically said he came on purpose, he fulfilled the purpose. That's success. You know, I want to say I fulfilled the purpose of God for my generation. I want to fulfill everything God has for me. Does this make sense? There's something in you more precious than what others have said about you. You have the potential to be reformed into something beautiful. And in fact, God will give you the ultimate makeover. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. Some of us, honestly, you know, I've been around people and they think, well, you know, I mess things up. Well, that's, I love things about God. He takes messes and makes them into messages. You know, I believe this deal's still on, the gifts and calling of God without repentance. You know, if the only time the deal is off is when you believe it is. You know, because God will not go beyond your faith. Yeah. See, if you believe you can't, you won't. Jeremiah 18, verse 4. It says, but the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled or ruined in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. I'm going to tell you something. God's about ready to remake some stuff. You know, we've been through some stuff. We've been scarred. We've been messed up. And God's going to reinvent it. Come on. He's going to make it into something beautiful. He's going to use the same substance and reshape it. Come on. There's a reformation going on. There's a reformation that's going to go on. See, many times we're still stuck in what was a 20-year-old thing where God chose us 20 years ago. And God says, I'm going to make it current and I'm going to reform it. Because how many of you know if you try to do in technology what was done 20 years ago, everyone will laugh at you. You know, you pull out your cassette tapes, they laugh at you. If you're like me, you got 8 tracks. Come on. I even have probably a reel-to-reel somewhere. You know, I'm keeping around for antique value, but still, you know. See, God wants to make beauty for ashes. Come on. See, God really wants to touch you and make you new again. He wants to touch you and make you new again. Some of you need another touch. Come on, you need another touch to get activated. You know, many times we get healed up and we're not ready to run. In other words, there's no more excuse for not running. We're just not willing to do it anymore. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. See, what you are and how you are was predetermined by why you are. Your design is perfect for your purpose. God literally made you to fulfill something. That's why he weaved you in your mother's womb. That's why even before you were born, you were on his mind. He knew you before you ever were born. He said, okay, this person I'm sending because the world has this need. Every one of us is an answer to some type of problem. God foreordained things. He all the days you were meant to live, he wrote a book about your life. And it was a success book, by the way. Every time you're on the same page as God, you're a history maker. His story. Come on, you change things. God sent you here to change the world and make it a better place. He gave you talents and gave you abilities. He put on the inside. You are what you are by the grace of God. And that grace should cause you to work. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet before the foundation of the world. I mean, he called him a prophet before he ever was in his mother's womb. You know, some God named you before you ever were in your mother's womb, too. Just, you're going to have to discover what he said about you. He has plans for you. To give you a future and give you a hope. And it's not just for you. If it was just for you, then you not fulfilling your potential wouldn't be as bad as what it really is, because other people need you to be the best you can be. Am I stirring something yet? You know, this is, you know, we need to seek an abundant life. You know, the only way you can have an abundant life is take the cap off the well. You got a well of salvation, but we cap off what God can do. It's time to redig some ancient wells. Sometimes it's time for us to stir up some gifts. You know, those gifts weren't for us. They're for a world. They need what God put in you. Does this make sense? See, you have amazing potential. Unclog your well and release your potential. All things have the potential to fulfill themselves. There is no fulfillment without understanding the reason for being. So that's why we have always, God always brings you back to your purpose. You know, and be honest with you, if you don't fulfill your purpose, your life will not be abundant. That's why Paul said, "Woe unto me unless I preach the gospel." He knew unless he preached, his life would be woeful. Because he wasn't fulfilling his purpose. You know, a singer has to sing, a dancer has to dance, a writer has to write. A comedian has to be funny. Other people don't try. A cook needs to cook, but mom needs not to. She's in heaven, but I know, glad she, I guarantee you, she ain't cooking up there. You know, but the bottom line is every one of you has the things you do. You know, and we need all of us to do the thing we do. Come on, and be the best we can be. And many times what the enemy will try to basically steal that which what God put in you. When people limit what they can be, they limit what they will be. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all the things he ever put in me. I can do them, I can do them, I can do them. And many times I don't even know what I can do until God asks me to. But the moment he says, I can do, I can get. The moment he says, the moment you have his word on, you can walk on it. It's time for the church to stretch. Is this okay? We're going to move on this thing, man. We are going to move when you literally, your natural eyes and your natural mind cannot help you understand what was prepared for you before you were born. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard what God has prepared for them that love him. And it goes on, they're revealed by the Spirit. Yeah. They're revealed by the Spirit. Your mind can't understand who you really are. Your body can't tell you who you really are. Your emotions can't tell you who you really are, but your spirit can reveal the real you to you. Come on, they're spiritually appraised. All of a sudden, the light comes on. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is what I can do, praise God. This is why I am, praise God. Every one of you is a gift from God. Hallelujah. And you're gifted with certain things that you're meant to do. Hallelujah. You know, God, when God made you, he threw away the mold. See, there are things that are hidden for you, not from you, but these are deep things. There's a deep that calls unto deep. And many times what happens is we've used up the revelation of the shallow. And he's saying, you're going to have to launch into the deep for a catch. Yeah. And many of us, we are trying to live where we used to live, and there's nothing left there. But there's a calling that's going to cause people to press in and say, God, I got to see more. I'm doing everything I've seen, so I got to see more. There's something I haven't seen yet, and I know that there's a harvest in that. See, the deepest things you can know about yourself are not in your mind or your emotions or even your body. They're in your spirit. There's the cry that comes out. That God, there's more. We're hungry for more. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt said something. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And to be honest with you, many of us have consented. And God's trying to elevate and realize, hey, you're not what people called you. You're not what your parents may have said about you. You're not what your mate may have said about you. You're not anything but what God said about you. Come on now. That's who you are. And when you realize what God said about you, it will set you free from the other opinions. All of a sudden, you are valuable. You are loved. You can make a difference. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Come on. You're part of the Am family, praise God. Does this make sense? See, there is a passion for relevance and a sense of significance in each one of us. Every one of us wants to feel significant. And you are significant. The Bible says in Job 8:7, though your beginning is insignificant, your end will greatly increase. What does that mean? It means at first we don't look very significant, but if we will just tap into what God has, we'll make a huge difference. Our end will greatly increase. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe we're entering into the best. I believe we can forget what lies behind and press in right now. Come on now. I believe God has more for us, and He has more to manifest through us to a dying world. Come on. You're not a mistake. You're a plan by God. You are a predetermined success story. Think about that. God already foreordained good works. Yeah. Done deal if you'll walk in them. He already wrote a book about your life. Psalm 139, verse 16. It's a success book. You are literally a predetermined success story. If you'll just obey God. Things that God has said about this city, it's a done deal as far as God's concerned. He's just waiting for people that will grab hold of it, believe it, and go after it. It's a done deal. See, everything is possible if you abandon yourself to an idea long enough that you're willing even to lose your life for it. If your vision is not, if you don't have anything worth dying for, you have nothing worth living for. Just the way it is. You know, what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I don't even count my life dear to me in Acts 20, verse 24, that I may accomplish the vision God showed me. That's what he was saying. And then later on, he said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. So when he talked about vision, he also talked about obedience. They go together. So he said, basically, when God shows you something, you can either be obedient or disobedient. Come on. How many people understand? Everything starts as a thought. It becomes an idea. It turns into a word. Then it becomes an imagination. An imagination has the word image in it. All of a sudden, you begin to see things. And when you begin to see things, imaginations always turns into plans. You can know when you've been captivated by God's imagination because there'll be a plan. There'll be a course of action. You know, there'll be things that I found out years ago that, you know, again, so many times we have blockages because we think we can't. But, you know, constantly I had coaches growing up that would push me beyond what I thought I could do. It almost seemed mean to me. They'd be riding me, say, run, 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 run. I feel like, you run. You know? I mean, And they'd actually push me to a second wind. They would break me down so that I'd have greater capacity. And the question is, if I didn't quit, I could enter into a realm I could live in. But if I quit, I had to settle. And his job was he knew what I was capable of, so he basically had to push me to the next level. I want to tell you something about the Holy Ghost. He's a good coach. I mean, he won't let you alone. I mean, sometimes people say, well, you know why God does things? Because he knows what you're capable of. That's why. Have you ever noticed some things about God? He doesn't seem to ever change his mind. You know, year after year, he keeps saying the same thing. Whole, he doesn't change his mind. It's like, God, okay, I've heard it. He said, now why don't you do it? Just do it. He said, until you do it, I'm going to keep bugging you on this. It's like a mama. You know, I mean, my son loves me because I'm not nearly as persistent as my wife is. It's like, you know, she's not going to give up. She's the mama, man. She is the mama, you know. I won't let him quit. I don't ever let him quit, but I'm not on him all the time. She's like the total coach all over him all the time. Yeah. Amen. But, you know, in the long run, ultimately he is where he is today because he had a good mama. You know? And he had a decent dad. But he had a good mama, you know? See, people who never get beyond the idea phase are followers. A lot of people have ideas. But people who never get beyond the idea phase are all only followers. And the danger comes is when we have people in leadership that honestly, they've never gone beyond the idea phase. They haven't meditated until it became imagination, and there is no plan. So they're always looking to others to tell them what to do. Getting quiet. Your vision must become a mission in order to change the world. A missionary is not someone who crosses the seas, but a missionary is someone who sees his cross. He sees the purpose. He sees his assignment. See, it's not Jesus' cross you carry, it's yours. Your cross is your God assignment. It's the thing that if you do it right, it'll give you the most thrill and it will also give you the most pain. Well, you know, for me, it's, you know, ministry stuff. I love what I do. But, you know, it's like the thrill of victory and whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. You're always, you know, I see people getting restored and I see people acting stupid. Mm-hmm. And it's really frustrating at times because you do everything you know how to do. And then there's some pain involved in it because I care. If I didn't care, there wouldn't be any pain. Mm-hmm. I want to see everyone make it. Yes. I want to see everyone fulfill their potential. You know, my heart's cry is to see these things succeed. And that's God's heart's cry. He said, if you love me, he said, number one, he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to, and Mark 8:34, you got to deny yourself. That's what knocks most people out right there. Most people, they're in it as long as God doesn't mess with their personal lives. Yeah. Long as God doesn't require anything of them. Yeah. You know, God, I just want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't want any responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All responsibility is response to his ability. That's why whatsoever is not a sin, you know, not a faith is sin, because it's irresponsible. It doesn't respond to God's ability. So you do nothing. To him that knows to do something and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. But you deny yourself, then you pick up your cross. God will show you your assignment. It's your part. Then you can follow him. So what I believe God's going to do is I believe he's going to begin to ignite the potential of this place like never before. I believe he wants to give you fresh dreams, fresh visions. I believe he wants to breathe on some things. I believe he wants to take some things that he already spoke and redefine them. Yes. Come on now. You know, bring them current. Bring them current. I believe it's a now time for Kaiser. I believe you're seeing that in the natural. I believe you're seeing some of the shaking going on because God's reordering things. Yes. God's getting things in order. And many times it's ugly when he's doing it.
Yes. Yes.
But the result can be something beautiful.
Yes.
Come on now. And many of times in our lives, it just seems like he'll shake up the status quo. And God, I want it done, but this is the way I saw you doing it. He said, I'm going to open your eyes so you can see fresh. But God, I've always just done what I'm told. He said, then why don't you do what I tell you? If I put you in the place, take some initiative. That's not initiative, as long as you're submitted, is the proper thing.
Yes.
It's the proper thing. It's not always having to check with everybody. Just go with it. 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 You know, I remember years ago at Victory, there were like 20 levels that you had to report to. And by the time, we would have fresh ideas, and by the time we got through all the levels, the excitement would wear off.
Yeah.
And finally, I got so frustrated, I went to it wasn't pastor, but it was the second man in charge, who was the administrator. And I said, Mark, these levels are frustrating me. I said, I get something, and I get the kids all excited, we're about ready to do something, and it takes you guys 6 weeks to get back with me. By that time, they have no excitement left.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget what he told me. He said, do whatever you want to do, Woody. We trust you. Those rules aren't for you. I thought, then why you have them? But, you know, but I just, you know, I mean, I felt like slapping. Now you tell me. But, you know, I realized, hey, you know, sometimes when you're on the inside, you just got to go for it. Amen.
Right.
When your heart's right, then the people aren't going to see you as rebellious.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right. That's
and nothing gets right. done when we're always waiting forever. All these, you know, some of you right now, God's just doing a little Nike thing on you. Just do it. Just do it. Come on now. Reach out. It's all right to reach out to people. It's all right to pray for people. It's all right to put things in a certain order. It's all right to do it. If it's wrong, you'll find out about it. But they're not going to come down hard on you. The day is coming. We can't wait on stuff. It's too many stuff, and it frustrates everyone. You know, that's part of release. I think, you know, I know your pastor's heart. I'm releasing you as long as you are tied in right. You know, I want you to get to, you know, and I know you guys. You're here. That's why you're here. So we're giving you permission to do something. Well, Jesus said, the works I do, you shall do also, and greater, and greater, and greater, which means, hey, you got freedom.
Yes. Yes.
Not freedom for the flesh, but freedom to do some stuff.
Yes. Yes.
How many of you know there's more than what you've experienced?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know you have more potential in you?
Yes.
And you want to fulfill your potential?
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're going to get into this again tomorrow night, because this is good stuff. Yes. Because I'm going to drive it home, because I want you to see, man, you are carrying something.
Yes.
If I could get you all together, just... You know, this, then I can come back and, you know, it'll be an overflowing house.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
You know, it'd be more fun for you, more fun for me,
yeah.
more fun for God.
Yeah.
You know, he's interceding. Let him get it. Let him get it. Let him get it.
Yes.
And, you know, we should be saying, God, okay, Lord, show me. I mean, this year, I want you to be praying this constantly. God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Show me, God. Show me, God. There's more. There's more. There's more. Show me the more. And God, revisit some of the things you showed me in the past, because I've been a little slow. I recently had God revisit stuff I had shelled for years. And now, you know, now it's like a command. In fact, honestly, if I don't do what he told me to do by this time next year, you know, he said, I give you a year to do this thing. He's starting to talk to me that way. It's not like, oh, it's be nice. One of these days we'll do it. He said, I'm giving you a year to do this. And he said, it will affect the quality of your life too. He said, well, so I told my wife, I said, I'm not about playing games with it. I'm sold out to it. It's going to cost me something too. But it's just, you know, I got to get it done. I believe there's some assignments. God's going to start talking a little bit more. Not like someday. You know, I found out something with God. A lot of times he won't give you time frames, but when the time's right, he will.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically said, hey, it's now. I believe we're coming to a now season. You know, God told me, he said, the church has got to be ready to run, because when the shift takes place, if they're getting ready, they're going to miss it. If they are ready, they can run with it. He said, I'll only use people that are ready. Least to be the leaders of it. And he told me a lot of the leadership today is still living in the past, so that when the shift comes place, they won't be able to follow it. So it's a new day. I wonder if he had bowed, no one looking around, it's the way we do in America. God's going to do something. He's going to do something. How many of you would say that with me? Just lift your hand and say, man, I want my potential fulfilled. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want to manifest why I was born. I mean, I don't want to just live for me. You know, I'm grateful. You know, I found out you live for him, your life's better. He gives you life and life more abundantly. He literally out of your belly will flow rivers. There's a flow that comes. When you tap into the purpose of God, there's a divine flow in the purposes of God. In fact, when you tap into the purpose of God, the blessings will come on you and overtake you because you're listening to the voice of God. Come on now. When you tap into the blessings of God, favor will begin to flow because favor is tied to God's purposes. And in fact, you don't even have to ask God to bless your plans. When you enter into His plans, they're already blessed. Come on now. We don't have to beg God. We just have to obey God. Come on. Many times we're asking God, we're begging God to bless something He hasn't ordered. But if you want prayer now, I want to pray for you. If you want prayer, say, I you may need prayer for healing. That's good. We'll believe God for your healing. But most of all, I'm going to believe God that this will be a season where God will begin to restore purpose in your heart. Some of you, you know what it is, but it's been like you've been through so much. What's the use anyway? Well, if you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, there's a bunch of use right now. He's breathing. He said, hey, this is a season where we can make supernatural progress. It's a season of breakthrough. And I found out there's a season where God's going to go on whether you do or not. So if you want prayer for God to use you in potential, I want to pray for you. Come on up. Something's going to break in this place. Momentum is going to be. I found out something. God, you know, you need to see yourselves as you really are. You're not this little small group. You know, I mean, people on the outside, when they look in the natural, they'll say, hey, look at that. That's cute. When God looks, he said, look at those world changers. Because you have the potential to change your world. I want you just to lift your hands up towards heaven. Start thanking God. Thank God for the potential he put in you. Thank God for all the plans he redesigned. Thank God that you're a success story. Now, you begin to pray, God, you're the author and finisher. God, I want this book to be read by all men. I want to be a living epistle. I want to show people. I want to live as an example of what you can do. Lord, I release anointing in this place right now. Father, I declare that the dreams and the visions will come to pass. All the miracles that were foreordained are going to happen. That God, this area is going to be changed and blessed in Jesus' name. That everything I've put in you, going to begin to stir again. And God, not only will there be great glory in the sanctuary, there's going to be a river that will flow out of the sanctuary.
Yes.
That there will be an effectiveness that is going to touch every area. God, touch the businessmen. Touch the leaders of every realm, God, in this community. May there be a touch of God. This is a new stirring, a new day. That's what you're all about. Speaking to people's potential.